Hello, and welcome to the final lesson in our series, Speak God's Word, Get His Results, Series 1. My name is Randa Lee, and we are so glad that you have continued with us for the entire series. Did you know that God has obligated Himself to keep our words? That's right, so you need to know how to speak to obtain the same results God gets. Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston will show you how in this teaching titled, The Power of Words. Now feel free to pause or rewind this teaching at any time to ensure that you catch every important truth. And as usual, we have questions for you to think about, an action plan for you, scripture references, and more available for you to download below this video. Okay, are you ready to finish the series? Well then let's join our teachers now.
Hello everybody, I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank You today for this broadcast. Thank You for our partners and all out there in radio and television, all around the world. We are just so grateful to You, sir, for what You have done for us, what You are doing for us, and what's happening through all of us together. In all of this chaos that Satan has caused, praise God, there's victory in Christ Jesus. You always cause us to triumph, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in welcoming Bill Winston to this broadcast again today. Brother Bill.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Yes. We win, man.
Yes, we win. Hallelujah.
We win in the King James translation. We win in the Amplified translation. We win in all of them. You did read them all. Then read the back of the book.
Amen.
And get excited. Amen. We win.
We win.
I am excited about.
Amen. Mm.
There is. Our time has come. In God, there is no time. He's always right now because He has spoken the end from the beginning. Amen. But He has given us in the new birth that timeless status in Him, so that I can, by faith, reach out into what's already been done for me and bring my future into me now by calling things that be not as though they were, so that they are. Mm. Amen. But notice, I got to call them.
You got to call.
And he got to call them.
Abraham had to call it.
Had to call it. You can't. I laughed so hard one day in one of Charles Capp's services that I got the tape and listened to it again and again. I just laughed until it just really did thrill me, and it tickled me right now. He said, "Can you see some guy standing out there saying, 'Here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, 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 kitty,' and they say, 'What's the matter with you? Your cat's standing right there.'" Oh. and they say, "He calling the dog when the dog is right there." Now, he said, that's the way people do it. You say, "Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I'm so sick." You need to be calling healing.
That's exactly.
Oh, but you know, Brother Bill, I only say it like it is. And that's the reason you're still sick, dummy. Forgive me for calling you dummy, but I mean, you know, really, in the light of the Word of God, if you don't know what the Word says about it, you are ignorant or dumb.
That's exactly right. Mm.
And so he said, "Well, I wouldn't want to call the dog because the dog ain't here." That just has no.
My goodness. Well, it's interesting. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man.
It does, doesn't it?
Lord have mercy.
But the end thereof
is the way of death.
The way of death.
My goodness.
It seems right.
It seems right. And he said over in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, "I've set before you this day, life and death, blessing and cursing.
You choose.
You choose.
If you're going to choose life, you have to choose life words.
Over in Proverbs 18:21, yeah. Death and yeah. Life.
Life and death is in the
power of the tongue.
Power of the tongue. So if death and life are in the authority of the tongue, so is blessing and cursing. Mm-hmm. And we know that because the scripture says right there in the book of James, it says therewith, talking about the tongue,
yep.
We bless God and curse men. It ought not be so.
Let's go over there to that James over there. James chapter 3. James, well, Brother Copeland, you really done a teaching on this before. I mean, because he was a brother of Jesus. I mean, in a natural way.
Raised in the household. In the house with him.
Yeah.
He thought he's crazy.
Yeah.
The whole family thought he was crazy because he didn't talk right.
Gotcha.
And
isn't that something?
All the things they were taught to say, and they were taught to speak the way they spoke by the most religious people of their day. But Jesus wouldn't talk like that. And they thought he was deranged. The scripture uses the word lunatic.
Exactly.
And they thought he was crazy. So until after he was raised from the dead and he appeared to James and straightened him out.
Gotcha.
Well, he's raised in the household with him. And he's the man that fully explains the power of the tongue.
He sure did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You have to go to James to get working knowledge of the tongue. And you see what James says, then you go back over there and see what Jesus said, and then you go, well, no wonder Jesus said what he did, that I'm justified by my words or I'm condemned by my words, because James laid it all out. There it is right there.
Now, let's start with that, Brother Copeland, and because I want you to take us back to Cain and how Cain fits in here with this teaching on James. And just see how these two fit together. Because people need to see that. I mean, you and I, when we're off camera, we're talking about that. And this is powerful right here, just starting here. And he says, verse 2, for in many things we offend not. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle a whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell.
Yeah. If the devil can't get a hold of your tongue, he can't do nothing to you. He can't do nothing about you.
That's the key.
He has to have, because he is governed by the laws of God.
Yeah.
Okay. He can't break them.
Right.
When he broke the laws of God to start with, he was done for. Because he's not a human. He doesn't have the right of choice and free will like a human being. Ain't no redemption for him. He didn't have a tempter. He's doomed forever. Now, excuse me, we hold our place right there because we want to look at that. And let's look what Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew. Then we'll go right on over to the book of Genesis. Jesus said in verse 37, for by your words, by your words shall you be justified. By your words shall you be condemned. Not by the word of God, by your words. Heaven is stuck with what we say. Or heaven is blessed by what we say. We have the power to bind and loose. We have the power to bless. We have the power to curse.
Right here on this earth.
Right here on this earth. And God will honor it. Now, let's go back over, Bill, to the book of Genesis. God is dealing with Cain. In this fourth chapter, I want you to notice here, now in the 11th verse, "Now are you cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood by your hand." Now this is God speaking. God's doing the talking here. "When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth." Now God stopped right there with, "A vagabond shall thou be in the earth." Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of all the earth. From your face shall I be hid." God didn't say that.
He did not, did he?
But Cain said that. "I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth." Now that's where God stopped.
That's right.
"And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me." Now Cain said that.
He said that.
Now notice what God said. "And the Lord said unto him, therefore," when you see a therefore, you better find out what it's there for. "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." Now, God never said anything about anybody slaying him. But once Cain said it, it became a matter of record, and God had to deal with it. Isn't that an amazing thing? God didn't stop and say, "Now, wait a minute, Cain, I never said that."
No.
God had to act on what he said.
Look at what happened. If you look at Genesis, and chapter, Lord have mercy, chapter 30, oh Lord, Genesis chapter 20, this is when, 37, Genesis chapter 37, and this is when the brothers of Joseph deceived their dad and brought in this coat that had been dipped in animal blood.
Yeah.
And the dad loosed some words here. Now this is,
yes,
this,
sir.
This is what we gotta watch. See, we gotta watch this. Look what he says here. I'll start at verse 32. "And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." Now this is the father's words. "And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. This his father wept for him."
He said later, "Nothing worked right for me."
Goodness.
Now he took it that that boy was dead, but the boy wasn't dead.
He was not dead.
He was not dead. But he believed he was, and he acted like he was until it shortened his life.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying.
You remember when Joseph introduced him to Pharaoh?
Yeah, and Pharaoh and he came up.
He said, "How old are you?" And he apologized for not being any older than he was.
Exactly right.
Because he was under conviction of it because his ancestors lived longer than he had, and he was about to die, and he knew it. But the thing of it was, he believed a lie instead of standing up and saying, "I don't believe that. I believe my boy's alive.
Oh,
you promised me." You know why he didn't do that? Mm. He didn't believe the dream that God gave Joseph. God gave Joseph his word,
he
confirmed it in another dream, and Joseph went and told his daddy, and he didn't believe it.
Dad said, "What is this dream you're dreaming?"
Let's go back over there to the book of James.
Now, I'm just talking about how the enemy tries to affect our speech.
He's got to, Bill. He can't function unless he does.
Man.
Now, go back over there to that sixth verse. Mm-hmm. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body, and it sets on fire the course. My cross reference has got a little number 4 right there. Mm-hmm. And you go over and it says the wheel. Mm-hmm. It sets on fire the wheel of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now, hell got a hold of Cain's tongue, and he added to that curse.
He sure did, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. When he did, he licensed Satan to do it, and God had to deal with it. Think about that.
You know, there is a man, and I read this account, and he was going to the hospital. Apparently, he had to have an operation. But he kept saying, "If they operate on me, I know I'm going to die." And do you know, the doctor refused to operate. He knew that this man, whatever, this doctor had a hold of a principle. He knew that this man's life was going to be hard to contain. Why? Because he had set on, how did you read that? He had started the wheel.
He started the wheel of nature in motion. Now, this is big. Now, I've seen this more than once, several times down in the last 46 plus years that I've been in ministry. Somebody sets spiritual laws in motion. We're talking about the law of confession, the law of faith. That person sets those laws into motion right there. If he sets the wheel of nature into motion, he's the only one that can stop that wheel rolling. Now, I've seen this. Somebody says, "Well, you know, I just feel like I'll never live past 50 years old." And he starts saying that when he's 14 and 15, something like that. The devil tried to put that on me when I was a young man. And I had enough prayer support around me and my mother, I didn't pick up on it. Had I picked up on it, my mama couldn't have stopped it. I would have had to be the one to stop it because I'm the one that set it in motion. And I've seen this when you go to pray for somebody. I'm in a born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking Christian. Carnal minded.
Gotcha.
Say stuff like that. They operate on me, I'll die. I won't live past 50 years old. I don't know why, you know, I just kind of got that feeling. It just, well, you know, my daddy died of heart trouble, my granddaddy died of heart trouble, the boys in my family don't live very long. Now, why is he saying that? Because his mama told him that. And he keeps saying that and saying that, and you go in there and lay hands on him, anoint him with oil, he ain't going to do a bit of good.
Because he is set
He set it in motion. He set hell in motion instead of heaven. And so God's got to deal with it.
My goodness. How about the parents that say, "Boy, you ain't going to never be nothing. Your daddy wasn't nothing." they're setting in motion something.
And it's set on fire of hell. That's the only way Satan can get those kids. Gloria and I, back, I'd heard about preachers' kids and all that ever since I've been in the ministry. Why they are, preacher kids are always bad kids, blah, 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 blah. No, they're not. And I said, Gloria, when will we have that with our children? So we took off a whole weekend and we searched the Bible. We read books. We did everything. We established and wrote out a covenant and petition before the Lord. Great shall be the peace of my children. Praise God. And all these different scriptures and so forth. We laid them before God and believed it and established it. We took communion. We have a covenant with God where our family is concerned, and I refuse to say anything any different. Now, there were times in John's life where the devil was doing everything he could to kill that boy.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't stand for it. I didn't just jerk him up.
Yeah.
Now, I did that for a while, and the Lord got on me. He said, you're magnifying that boy's sin. You better treat him like a man of God. See, I better walk by faith.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah, see,
we just watch God just track our children down through the year because we had a covenant with God. I'm not going to be like Job. I'm going to speak the word of God over my family. Now, if you've been saying something else, get in the word of God and dig that seed up and begin to speak the word of the living God. This wisdom, it is from above. It's pure, it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit without partiality and without hypocrisy. You get in the Word and begin to speak the Word of God over your children every time they walk through the room. Say, you're blessed and highly favored of the living God.
And Brother Copeland, that's where Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted out.
Root it up. Dig her up. Praise God. Quit watering it.
Watering that thing.
Hallelujah.
Congratulations. You have finished the entire series, Speak God's Word, Get His Results, Series 1. Wasn't it a powerful teaching from Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston? Now, don't forget to take advantage of the free downloads on your screen. They are designed to help you apply what you have learned. And as you do, you will see the effects of your words in all aspects of your life. Again, thank you for joining us for this series. We hope you will come back as we have more topics, including Speak God's Word, Get His Results, Series 2, for you to study in Believer's Academy. Until later, have a wonderful day, and remember, Jesus is Lord.